Sabbath day. Before we begin our class, I have this note which some of you requested. My apologies that I forgot to staple it. So if you take the notes, please, two copies. Don't take more than two copies. It's total 3 pages. So it's 2 copies. All right? So, and the other thing is, the notes for today will not be given today. It will be given next week. This is what I intend to do. I think we need to learn or relearn the skill or the art of sitting down to listen to a sermon or a message and to not rely too much on all these technologies and all these notes. So I will leave the notes later out there. Please take only 2 copies. Thank you. Thank you. And the other thing is, for those books that I, or commentaries that I have referred to you, please, if you intend to get it, don't get it first. Try to go to our church library. Our church library is up there. That library is not for kids only. I hope you are aware of that. All right? There are helpful videos, books, commentaries and things like that, I think is there. So please check out at the library first if you intend to get the commentaries. Of course, some of it you can Google and get it free online. All right? So please do go to our church library, make full use of it, and and borrow those books. And it is for members only. It is for members only. All right? Let us pray. Our God and our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the return of the Lord's Day, this day of rest and worship, this day which is a foreshadow of that great and glorious day where every of Your blood redeemed people will gather into Your presence to worship Thee and to praise Thee forevermore. We thank Thee this morning that we have a glimpse of it. And Father, we ask for Thy help, that Thou will bless Thy people as we come to study and meditate upon Thy word. We pray for Your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. We ask that, Lord, You will sanctify the lips of Your servant as he brings the word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that You will cause Your word to fall on good ground, that it may bring forth much fruit for Thy glory. Forgive us of our sins, for we acknowledge that we have fallen short of Thy glory. We have not loved You as we ought. Pardon us, we pray, and wash and cleanse us anew by Thy shed blood. Sanctify us by Thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The lesson I'd like to consider with you this morning from chapter 1. Chapter 1, among the many other lessons in this chapter, is this. Price for disobedience. Price for disobedience, and my text is from verse 3. So he, Jonah, paid the fare thereof. In the last part of verse 3. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah is a picture of a Christian believer. So he paid the fare thereof. As a general rule, as you know, wherever you and I go, whatever we do, we must pay the fare thereof, isn't it? Expenditure is connected with every act every work and operation, all the processes of nature involve a constant expenditure of power. For example, the human body, we cannot move a limb or contract a muscle without expense. The lifting of our hands, the use of our fingers, the motion of our tongues, the stirring up of our brain in thought, all cost something. And it rises, or rather, it uses up strength. And through usage, as we know, some wear and tear will occur in our bodies. So we must pay our fare. For this is the universal law requires of it, and there is no avoiding of it. The general rule of expenditure holds true or holds good when we enter even into the realm or the domain of morals and of spiritual things. In the Old Testament, we read Adam ate the forbidden fruit and paid dearly for the fall of the human race. The Lord Jesus redeemed us in his boundless love, but not without a price. The free mercy of God cannot work its way among men except Jesus be spent to purchase men from bondage. Expenditure occurs everywhere in our salvation. The price of pardon was Jesus' blood. To purchase our soul, it cost his own. This principle of payment applies not only in the heavenly kingdom, but also in our sin-cursed world. Sinners must pay or must spend their fare for the pleasures of sin and for that which profits us not. And we must pay our deeds. Those who would be saved must take care to sit down and count the cost, lest after we have begun to build, we should not be able to finish it. As Jesus says in Luke 14, 28-30. So let him not think that he is alone in his expending, for the sinner's bill of course, my dear friends and brethren, is not a light one. I repeat, the sinner's bill of course is not a light one. War of any sort is costly, but ungodly woman will find that a war with the God of the Bible, the creator of heaven and earth, is the costliest of all. I shall begin this study to direct your attention, firstly, which is my first head, the price for traveling to hell. The price for traveling to hell. There can be no argument from the Bible that a sinner must pay dearly for the sin that ruined his life and his soul. Let us begin to add up the bill. We are met at once with a very heavy item. The man who makes the world his idol and forgets God has at once, at the start of his life journey, to pay down and place in a sinking fund all of God's favor, all hope of God's favor, and all expectation of blessings which it brings. He or she, take note, cannot run contrary to God's will and command and then expect that God will be his friend and prosper his or her endeavors. If I set up myself in rebellion against the Creator God, I cannot suppose that he will make it his constant care to promote my interests, nor will he aid and abet me in my evil scheme. With the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward, say the psalmist in Psalm 18:26. Again, the Lord warns us in Leviticus 26:21. Leviticus 26:21, I read, "If ye walk contrary to me, to God, I will walk contrary to you." Long-suffering is God indeed, and he does not smite the rebel with speedy ruin. But still it is written in Scripture, God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. Psalm 7, 11 to 12. Moreover, the sinner who gives up every promise of God pays the price in choosing the road to perdition. There is not a word in the Bible which can breathe comfort into the sinner's heart while he or she chooses his own ways. The Bible is a book of threatenings and of curses to the impenitent. To the unbelievers, to those who are still outside of the kingdom of God, I say this to you. Please note that you have renounced by your unbelief and rejection of Christ all possession in the rich promises of God. You who know how to calculate the cost, mark this one item of expenditure to begin with and think, how heavy is the payment, the price of your sin of unbelief. Another expense which ought not to be forgotten is the loss of peace of mind. A man cannot indulge in sin and yet go to his bed with a quiet conscience. At least if he can do so, this insensitivity is of itself a greater evil. Even the respectable sinner whose life is outwardly moral, but whose heart is far from God, cannot avoid some disturbance of mind. If I am not one with God, if I am not washed in the blood of Christ, if I am not sanctified by God's Holy Spirit, there is an aching void within me which the world can never, never fill. There is, God has planted this in man, this inward voice which tells me there is something that you want, a something that the world cannot give you, which you cannot earn for yourself. Until you are truly born of the Spirit of God, you have no lasting peace. But if you have Christ, peace is like a river. Another expense which is the worst is that the man who goes to hell must pay the fare thereof in another way. What way? He loses his soul. What that loss may be, no man, no human being can tell or explain. No one has ever came back from that place of everlasting torment. But it is not for us even to conceive, isn't it, what that place of torment may be. It suffices us to hear and profit by the question of the Lord Jesus Christ, who asked us this morning, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew 6:26. Let us then, brethren, if we have been deluded by the pleasures of sin, or have been tempted in any way to forget God because we have thought that the way of the flesh was easy, pleasurable, let us think again, think a while, that we shall have to pay the price thereof. And that fare is far too expensive to be paid by men of understanding. We dare not risk soul and body, life and death, heaven and hell, judgment and eternity, merely for the sake of those worthless, passing, delusive joys, which are all that the world can pretend to offer us. Brethren and friends, may I suggest, consider this very solemnly. We come next to consider briefly my second head, the price for avoiding duty. The price for avoiding duty. I said earlier on that Jonah is a picture of a Christian believer, a servant of God who disobeyed. Jonah's duty was to go to Nineveh and preach the word. He preferred not to go, therefore he evades the work. I trust that you as Christians, you are not in the habit of doing the same thing like Jonah, but yet there are occasions when even God's servant shrink from duty and seem willing to forget that they are duty-bound to go. Brethren, if you do not make the sacrifice and commitment when God demands of you, He has other ways, many other ways, of taking away from you your earthly treasures you hold so dear to the neglecting of God. In the long run, you will find far more expensive to shun the work and the will of God than immediately take heed and give yourself to God's injunction. You will be a loser by your prudence. You shall find that the scriptural rule holds true, holds good, when Jesus says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Luke 9:24. But if you are willing to be a loser for Christ, you shall be a gainer. But if you persist in going the broad way of sin, then you shall find that before long you have to pay the price thereof to your own detriment. My dear friends and brethren, take this very seriously. Look at Jonah. What did he lose? Jonah had to pay as part of his fare the presence and the comfortable enjoyment of God's love. He went down into the bottom of the vessel and hid himself from God. How foolish! He should know better as a prophet of the Lord. Jonah has lost that blessed fellowship with his God and has lost God's presence, and consequently, he lost courage. This is the dear price which he has to pay for shunning Nineveh in disobedience. Brethren, when you and I worship and serve our Lord Jesus Christ as believers should do, we can remember that our God is with us, as he promised. Though we have the whole world against us, if we have God with us, what does it matter, isn't it? Think of it. What does it matter if God is with us? However, the minute we turn away from God and begin to seek our own invention and appeal to our own wisdom, we are all at sea without a pilot. And our great helper, the Lord Jesus, withdraws from us. That will be disaster. Then we may bitterly lament and groan in misery and sorrow, which we deserve it. This is a price too high. Let us return to our allegiance and to God's presence. Diligently seek after him. Jonah lost two great things. He lost God's presence and his own peace of mind. But this were not all his loss and injury. Furthermore, he was brought into great affliction of soul. He tells us that he cried by reason of affliction. Jonah chapter 2 verse 2. He cried. A grown-up man cried. He compares his state to the belly of hell. He was brought into deep distress. God, in his mercy, intervened to save his life. But take note of this. This applies to us also. God, in his mercy, intervened to save his life, but not to cheer his spirit. Learn from Jonah, therefore, that sin soon destroys a believer's comfort and rest and peace of mind. It is a deadly poison which destroys the life of joy and peace with God. Jonah had lost everything upon which he might have been comforted by turning to the promise of God that God would keep him. But it was not so. For Jonah was not doing the will of God. Therefore, do not play the Jonah, brethren. Do not play the Jonah. For you will have to pay the price of it. If you know that it is God's will, then in humility and joyfully, asking for the Holy Spirit's help to obey. The Lord Jesus warns us yet again, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Take note. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. I'm sure this verse is very familiar to all of you. Take note again. He that doeth the will of my Father. What it is To do the will of God, it is to obey. May God the Holy Spirit give us the wisdom that comes from above, which will lead us to sit like a child at Jesus' feet and learn his way. Again, the psalmist tells us, Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Psalm 32, verse 9. But listen diligently to his commands. Listen to God's still, small voice as he speaks to you. Each time when you open the Bible and read your Bible in your devotion, pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes that you may behold wondrous things out of the law of God, and pray that the Lord will give you or create in you a heart that is after his heart, just like David. Listen diligently to his command, and then shall your peace be like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Isaiah 66, verse 12. One last point. Today will be a very short lesson. I'm sure you're quite glad about it. One last point I would like to make from this text is this: the price of righteousness is already paid. The price of righteousness is already paid. Jonah paid his fare from Joppa to Tarshish, but we are not told that he paid any fare to go back to the place he came from. Did you notice it? We are not told anywhere in Scripture. The transportation that brought Jonah to land was far cheaper than the ship of Tarshish, though not quite so comfortable. Nevertheless, he came back to land with no expense to himself whatever. So, for us, we must pay much and do much in order to be cast away from God. But the way of eternal life and salvation is perfectly free, free of charge to you and to me, but paid by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his blood on the cruel cross of Calvary. When Jonah was thrown into the midst of the sea, the whale or the great fish did not swallow him up because he was a man of wealth, because there was something good in him or in himself. He was just a needy, destitute sinner, subject to the wrath of God, as expressed in the tempest and in the storm and in that stormy sea. And there came the friendly fish, which carried him into a living grave for 3 days, that his life might be preserved. And this illustrates very well for us the believer's salvation through Christ. Your salvation, my salvation, for those of us who are in the Lord. Salvation by death and burial with Jesus Christ. In our foolish pride, we ran away from God. We trust by our own self-righteousness to escape from the tempest of God's wrath, but we cannot. At last, we feel that we are cast right out into the sea and perish like Jonah, and God's anger covering us. As we think of it, There is no good thing in us, nothing upon which we can rely, and we see no hope of escape. God need to put Jonah in that state, and God need to put us in that state of helplessness, of hopelessness. But praise be to God, just then, when we are in the midst of the sea, about to perish, the death of Christ, which was our greatest crime, carries us into its friendly shelter. And in it, we are securely landed to the praise of the name and love of God. When extremity comes and there is none to help, then God prepares the way of deliverance for us, His chosen people. Listen carefully, my brethren and friends. We have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. May God help us to feel the sinfulness of sin. Grievously have we offended against God by flying into His face in defiance and going the path He would not have us to go. Can we return? Is there a way out? We have paid our price to go to the place of destruction, and we have no means to pay our fare to go to heaven. Penniless, stripped of all hope in ourselves, is there any way by which we can return? By which we can find eternal life? Oh, thanks be to God. There is a way. If we give ourselves up, surrender wholly to God, confessing our sin, and if our soul rests alone upon the finished work of the great salvation provided by Christ, in Christ Jesus, we need not fear, because we have nothing. Our God, who has everything, asks nothing from us. He does not save us because we are righteous, because He is gracious. I repeat, He does not save us because we are righteous, but He is gracious. Very, very gracious. He will not deliver us because there is something good in us, but because there is everything good in God, in Himself. That is our God, brethren. That is your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider this very carefully. Reflect upon it, especially those of us who have been Christian for many years now. If we are honest enough to ask ourselves, I think we have to conclude we lost the wonder of it all, isn't it? Of Christ's love, of God's love, of Calvary, day in, day out. We, our minds, our hearts are so taken up by so many things which are necessary for our living, for our work, to care for our family and ourselves. But do spare some time to regularly reflect upon this. What a great salvation God has wrought in your life. Undeserving sinners, let me say to those who are still in spiritual slumber, careless of your faith, taken up by all your career, your businesses and all that, your family, I just want to say this to you. If you sleep much longer, my dear friends, you may wake up where your waking will be terrible. Hear what the mariner said to Jonah in verse 6. What mean you, O you sleepers? Rise. Consider soberly your future doom and your present danger. Though you can see no means of escape, yet there is a means provided by God in His mercy. And when you are cast out from the ship, when you have left all other confidence and think that God's sea of wrath will cover you up, then Christ, who has been prepared long before as our great deliverer, shall take you and bear you safely to the land of eternal glory. And meanwhile, as you sojourn on in this sin-cursed, sin-drenched world with all your troubles and afflictions and sorrow, He will be with you. For He promised He will never leave you nor forsake you. It is us, you see, the problem is not God. God did not move, but we move. We move away, we turn our backs to Him. That's the problem. May the Spirit of God make you, make me, to forsake the way of unbelief and disobedience, and lead us in the way of peace and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God might have all the praise forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, indeed we confess, we are like Jonah, stubborn, stiff-necked, unrepentant. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us for our disobedience. Forgive us that we have not loved You as we ought. O Lord, cleanse us anew by Thy shed blood. Help us to rededicate and consecrate our lives anew to Thee as we are approaching to the end of another year. And if it be Your will that You will bring us to cross over into the new year, O Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou will create in us a heart that is after Thy heart, a God-fearing heart, a heart filled with the love for Christ, our Savior, a heart filled with the love for Thy laws and Thy commandments, to keep it, to keep them out of our love for Thee. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. God willing, next week we shall proceed to chapter 2.